Good morning, friend. I'm going to start by sharing a psalm with you. As you might know, the psalms are songs. And number 100, track 100, says this, a psalm for thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. And hopefully you're ready to shout to the Lord. And hopefully you've got a joyful song.
As you know as well, we're going through the book of Habakkuk at the moment. Well, actually, the kids don't know because we haven't been in here. But Habakkuk is all about prayer and thinking about... he was praying for his nation. So we want our nation to have light. And Habakkuk looked around and saw sometimes things were dark. And he prayed for God to bring about... light into his nation, or bring back God's peace and everything there today, into his day. And God also wants that for our nation today.
We're going to enjoy all the different generations today. So what I want you to do firstly is say a high five hello to someone who you may have not seen, but I want you to high five at least someone from a different generation. Okay, moving on to thinking of our offering time, I'm going to read further on in Psalm, just to remind you of that. Psalm 100 we started with, which says, shout to the Lord with joy. And it says, come before him with a joyful song, which we did at the start. And in verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Here's a chance for us to remember that God made us and has granted everything that we have, and a chance for us to be generous with what he has given us and to be good stewards of that. So we're going to have our offering now, and remember that God is our shepherd and he gives us all the grass we need and even more. Turn those things to him. Now, as I go around, I'm going to follow that around also with a few pieces of paper will be coming around. And this is going to then be our... we're going to turn these into praise planes. Okay, so they're going to be praise planes. You all got a pen on the way in, or some of you got a pen? You can pass that paper around. And on there, then, you can actually write with a group of people around you something that you can praise God for. And then what you're going to do is you're going to make it into a plane. Now, if you're adulting, you're making these planes with them as well. Just bend the nose over so no one pokes their eye out. And then we're going to see praise plane. Can you just pass it on, Tommy? Great. Which praise plane can reach the roof, if can hit the roof? Okay? So, bit of paper's coming around. Not everyone has to have one, but someone around you. You can write a couple of things that you can praise God for. Write them on there. It's your praise plane. Pens, if you need more, of Tim. Then make it into your best... flying plane. And then when I tell you, I don't want to see any planes flying before then, or you're disqualified. No planes flying until I give you the okay. At the same time, we're going to see which plane touches the roof first. Okay, so make your praise plane, write your praise point on there, make your plane, and then we'll see how it flies. You've got a couple of minutes. Go. Gather around. You can gather with people around you, talk to them. Right there, praise point as well. Now, you're going to have to be careful. Okay, if you've got glasses, you're fine. You can look up with your glasses. If you don't, close your eyes when we throw them. Someone else can tell you who has glasses on, who's hit the roof first. Okay? So, you put your praise point on there. And I'll check the winning one. I don't want a blank one. Okay, we're not sending blank praises. I want one with praises on it, so I'll check the winning one, okay? We're getting on a countdown now, so you haven't got long to put your plane together. Okay, you only now have 10 seconds to have yours ready. My praise on there, and I recently learned how to do a jet plane, so watch out. And we're going to watch for which plane touches everyone's eyes out, and... then I'm going to check that plane to make sure it's got a praise point on it, at least one. Are you ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, six, five, four, three, two, one. Oh, I think it was that one. Okay, what do we got? Praise God. Here we go. For rain in Mildura. Yay. And for praise God for health and for family. There you go. But this is Habakkuk 3. But I'm going to get us started looking at chapter 3. Start with a protester's prayer. I'm going to think about these five things. Thinking about protesters, the protest, the prophet, the process, and prayer in and of itself. So there they are, those five. Let me just run through them as we look at them. There's been lots of protesters lately, have you noticed? Against governments, maybe you've noticed that as well in Hong Kong. Do you know when that started? It started back in June, publicly. So it's been going for a long time, and there was even agitations before that in smaller groups, but it got to that stage back in June. So it's been going for a long time. That's on a human rights issue. And then you have activists or protesters against climate change in our own country, which you may have seen parts of that. And you have a young lady by the name of Greta. You remember her last name? Because she thundered to those people gathered in the UN gathering in New York City for a climate change summit. And she's only a 16-year-old Swede, and she had some things to say. Now, I want you to declare, have you ever been in a protest? Put up your hand, all those. Now, young people, look at the old people with their hand up, okay? Okay, just check them out. Maybe you want to ask them a question later. Yeah? Now, young people in here, I want you all to put one hand up for me. Come on, young people. Good, there's some older people considering themselves young as well, that's okay. Young people, keep your hand up because you've been a protester at times about the dinner that was served, about bedtime, about cleaning your teeth. You've probably been a protester. Now, there's a right way to protest and there's a wrong way to protest. So let me just encourage you and let you know there is a right and wrong way to protest. But speaking of the protest, an improper and proper way, we've been seeing Habakkuk's way of bringing his protest, not against the government, but it's about against God. And the prophet Habakkuk, well, we don't know much about him. What we learn from him, we learn in these three chapters. And so you've got to pick out and find what you learn. And maybe you have discovered something about him as you looked at it. There's little things like we don't know, as you may have noticed a word in there. Shinigonoth. Have you noticed that? That's a Shinigonoth. Whatever that is, we don't really know what it is. We don't know much about that, except that it's related to music. And it's like Selah, that you may have heard, related to music as well. So all after this, ask Ben, our musical director, what they mean. He might be able to help you out. But it seemingly means something like, you know, the instrument's ready, or a pause or a break for Selah. And we see it in the Psalms like over 70 times. So you might want to check it out there and try to work out what it is yourself. But the prophet Habakkuk has a protest, and his protest really is asking the why question to God. He comes to God with his why question. And we've seen those why questions as we've gone through. Now he himself has gone through a process then of bringing this to the Lord, and at the end of it he gets to a prayer, and that kind of completes, I suppose, the process for him. And by what we look and learn at what he says in that prayer. So that's what we're going to do today. Basically, chapter 1 has two protests, and then chapter 3 is his prayer. And really, they're probably all prayers, but this one is titled, did you know, a prayer. Just like in the Psalms, when you see a prayer of David, Psalm 17, Psalm 86 is a prayer in the line with this, kind of lament. Prayer attributed to David. This is a prayer of Habakkuk. So today we're going to focus in on prayer and see what we can learn from this, see what we can put into practice from this. And right now I'm going to do something very practical, is by pray and ask you to pray with me. And if you just want to pause, if you're drawing as well, and we'll pray and give this time to the Lord. Dear Lord, we want to praise you that we have time to sit and time to think. We want to praise you that you speak to us and you have a word for us. We want to praise you that you want to be in relationship with us. And so help us now listen carefully what you have to say to us and what we can learn from you. And we can pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Firstly, on your sheet there you'll have a handout which might be helpful to you. But thinking about trust and thinking about prayer and thinking about protest and how they all go together. Well, what we learned from Habakkuk is the protester's prayer. In chapter 1, he came out with those why questions, but he's come to a place and we can see that this protest comes out of his faith and out of a place of trust in God. And we have that very famous bit in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, where he says, "The righteous live by faith." And so what we have here is Habakkuk sharing these things and praying these things out of a place of deep trust in Yahweh, his God, the rescuing God. Now, this quote in the New Testament, and you can see there where it's quoted, Romans 1:17, we'll focus in on just now. But on our first week, we looked at Hebrews 10, and our last week, we looked at Galatians 3. You might want to check them out later on as well. But from Romans 1, verse 17, where this is probably most famously quoted, I'm going to read it in the CEV, and it says this: "The good news tells how God accepts everyone who has faith." That's who God accepts, everyone who has faith. "But only those who have faith. It is just as the scriptures says that people God accepts because of their faith will live." Clear, doesn't it? That those people that live in the trust of God are living by faith. Habakkuk, he sees violence around him. He sees injustice around him. He sees the punishment told of the brutal Babylon who will come. But he offers up these words in faith. And we get to the end of chapter 3, verse 16, where he says he'll be patient. Did you notice? For the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. He'll be patient. So he does this in trust. He trusts that God will bring justice. That's what he trusts. And we also see in verse 17 there that he trusts God even when there is no fruit and when there is no animals. Now, hand up. Who likes figs? I expect it will be people from the older generation who like figs. Okay, have a look around. I only like dry figs, really. Dried figs, anyone else with me? Figs. Okay, my wife only likes fresh figs. There's always one. Okay. Fresh figs, if you like fresh figs, that's okay. Dry figs you may like. Put up your hands if you like grapes. It mentions grapes here, did you notice? I think every little person, anyone not eating a grape? Okay, seems to be. Okay, who likes olives? Put up your hand if you like olives. Salty? Okay, there's some olive people. There's some people going like this. That means sort of, I think. Half-half. Some people trying to encourage other people. Okay, now you're all, at this point, you're all vegans and vegetarians because you put up your hand if you... But who likes eating animals? Okay, there's some people who put their hand up very enthusiastically then. There's no sheep in the barns and no cattle in the stalls. Now, Habakkuk says that even in drought or times when there's none of these things, that he is actually, verse 17, see what he says. He says there's no fig on the tree, there's no grapes, there's no olives, there's no food, there's no sheep, there's no cattle. Verse 18, what does he say? "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful to God my Saviour." He's moved process, hasn't he, to be able to do that. And to a point to be able to pray that. And so it's out of a place of trust that he says us. And it's like for us too, in our protest, or the things that we have, or the complaints that we feel against God, we need to trust that Jesus still loves us. And Jesus loves us even when times are really, really tough. When you have lost a friend, when you have lost someone in your family, when you've lost your job, when you have lost part of your health, lost, and all these things have changed. It's really a challenge to your trust that God loves you and that Jesus still loves you, doesn't it? You need to see if you can come to that place where you can trust God and still pray to Him about those things. Well, we learned that from here, Habakkuk, and now as we look into further into his prayer, we see that his prayer actually here is a whole lot full of praise. And basically most of it is praise. If you look at verse 3 all the way to verse 15, he's got a whole lot of praise for God, which is maybe a strange thing that you're thinking in all that he's been through and all that he's faced. He's praying about God who is, it starts even in verse 2, he says he's awesome in his nature. Verse 2, he says he's internal in his ways or his being, which he's mentioned in earlier chapters. Verse 6, he says that he is in cosmic control of things when he mentions the moon and the stars in verse 11. He kind of refers to that. And then verse 3, as we get to verse 3, he starts to talk about how God is holy. That means he's set apart. He's above everyone else. He is glorious. He is splendorous. These things that he praises God for. But if you notice carefully, or maybe you need to go back and read or listen to that sometimes, he praises God to talk about things like plagues. He starts to talk about things like wrath. He starts to talk about things like anger. Is he praising God for, did you notice? I think actually praising God for his justice and that he will bring judgment. If that's part of your prayer content, that you praise God that he is a just God and that he'll judge all things, he'll bring his judgment. To look at his prayer and what he prays for. Of course, he also prays and praises God that he's a rescuing God. And in verse 13, we start to see that. You come out to deliver your people, he says, to save. Save your anointed one. And obviously that is a reference to Jesus, but his anointed people here that he rescues and saves. And so he's a God who delivers. And so in this, Habakkuk, in the judgment that he is looking, the justice he's looking for, and God to bring judgment upon the harsh nation against him, he's also seeing that God is a rescuing God and a delivering God, a rescuing God. So his mind is back in things of the past. And this prayer really brings up the times of the past when God, you know, in Sinai, where he gave his people his word. And he makes references to places like Teman, you may have noticed that, or Mount Param, which is down where Mount kind of Sinai way, and where God gave his word to his people and then rescued them in the desert and brought them to that place. And then he rescued them in the great Exodus. Where in Exodus 15, we hear that rescue story. And then what's after the rescue story? In Exodus 15, there's a great praise song. And it's Moses and Miriam's prayer. And Miriam busts out with what? Tambourine, right. That's where the salvos get it from, isn't it? I forgot my tambourine. But that's maybe where they get it from. But they bust out in tambourine because God is the one who praises. They praise God because he rescues them. From what? The judgment that is right behind them. Well, that face the judgment that is right behind them as well. Here is, and I want you to take stock of your prayer. Prayer is central to our relationship with God. It's not like a peripheral kind of thing. So it's central to believers because God is relational. And it's a good chance for us to then to take stock of your prayer content. And you can tell a lot about a person, I suppose, about their content of their prayer, about what they pray about in hard times, and their maturity, really, can't you? Content of your prayer, you might want to put under stock take and see what you've been praying about lately. What's in your life? Now, I've got something that may be of help for you. It's an acronym, and maybe you've had a chance to fill it out. Maybe you're a teenager and you want to see if you can work out what those words are. Have a go before I give them to you. But I want you to remember Acts and thinking about prayer life and prayer. Acts is a great book and a great way to remember this about prayer, because in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to what? The fellowship, I heard somewhere. To gathering, to the teachings, to the fellowship and breaking of bread and a prayer. Acts 6, what did they set people aside to do? They were getting busy doing things, and they were going to set these people aside to be devoted to prayer and to the teaching of the word. Acts might help you remember this little acronym. Now, if you're into acronyms or an acrostic poem, you might want to make one up. But here is my first thing to think about our content of our prayer is A for adore. It's a great thing to praise God, adore God for his character, and to start your prayer and to fill your prayer life with these things. One might want to, like it says in the great hymn, all the saints, thank you, is it no? And we're getting sick of me singing. All the saints adore thee, in the old school language, right? Yeah. In Revelation, we see all the people of God before the throne praising God. It's a picture of praise, isn't it? It's acknowledging, it's adoring God for who he is. First one, A, if that letters fit, doesn't it? Second one, C, thinking about the content of your prayer, and is there confession in your prayer? That is saying sorry to God, and it's not just saying sorry in words, but saying a prayer that you want to change the way you're living. You want to turn around in your life. And you're really praying that in faith, that God is faithful and true and will forgive those things that you confess to him. Is for thanks. Did anyone get thanks? T? Yep, thanks. Good. Okay, and the last one's a long one. Thanks is about being grateful. It's about being thankful for all things that you have. And the last one, S, did anyone get it? It's a 12-letter word. It's a long one. Okay, supplication, fancy word. You could replace it with petition or appeal or request to God. This is just a helpful acronym for you, but the protest of Habakkuk, or his supplication, which you could probably fit in that category, was pretty small compared to this prayer of praise here, isn't it? When you go and kind of weigh up how much he brings his complaint to God and how many verses that takes up to his praise, it's actually interesting to see and weigh that up. The protest of Habakkuk has moved from a place and now he is really praising God. And if you get to verse 16, 17, 18 and 19, as we kind of finish off our time, you may want to look up those other verses which I have there for you about supplication, prayer and supplication. But as we think about him moving from that place, in verse 16, he says at the end of it, yet I will wait patiently for the Lord. In verse 17, he says about what's happening before him. And he says, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Verse 19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He enables me to go up on the highs. Finishes his prayer. And we see that he's moved to a place where actually can say that he rejoices. Actually say that he is joyful in God, his Saviour. Only be because his mind and his thoughts and his ruminations have changed from those things which are causing him complaint, causing him protest. It's where he can see that God is still in control. God is still the one who loves him. And he can trust and he can rejoice, because joy and rejoicing is not dependent upon your circumstances and situations. It is deeper than that, and it goes deeper into a place where you can rejoice and you can still find, as he says here, he can rejoice and be joyful in God his Saviour, even in Habakkuk's circum and situation. And a challenge then, I suppose, is for us, can we do that? Joy despite adversary. And I want to say about this in verse 18, this is a real choice then. Because you can stay on your protest, you can stay and claim your rights, or you can move to a place where you choose in verse 18 where he says, yet I will rejoice. That's a choice, right? That's a choice to move and to process through. You've been through this process and now you're going to go to this place where you'll rejoice in the Lord. And then we're going to have a time of communion and sharing around the Lord's table. Friends, we're going to move now into a time of gathering around the table of the Lord and the joy that we can have from that meal and that God brings in that meal. I'm going to just lead us in our time and thinking of Acts. And so I'm going to pray and adore God for all He is and all He's given us. And I'll ask you to pray with me as we start. Dear Lord, we want to praise You that You are the amazing God who stepped into this mess of this world. And Lord Jesus, that You are willing to come into this world. We praise You that You had a plan and You always had a plan for Your people. We celebrate that now. We want to remember that now. And we acknowledge You as our great God and Saviour. We praise You and we lift You up. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, secondly, we can, and no better time is there around the Lord's table or around communion, I think, is to come before God with confession. And so I'm just going to give you a moment to draw those thoughts together, those things that you may need to confess to the Lord. There may be something, someone else you may need to confess to around you, but I'll leave you to do that later, but bring that before the Lord first. And if you gather those things, in a moment I'm going to just lead us in a confession prayer as we bring them before Him. There's many thoughts that are going through our head that we realise that we have sinned against You in thought. We have sinned against You in our words to others. And we have sinned against You in our actions and our deeds towards others. Father, all these things we bring before You now in confession. I want to come here trusting in Your forgiveness, in Your mercy, in Your judgment, in Your wrath, You remember mercy. We bring these things before You, knowing that our Lord Jesus has stepped in for us, and it's Him that we're thankful for, and in whose name we pray. Amen. If that's you, you're a faithful believer, I'm going to have 4 points to come up now. If you want to bring your family with you, if you've got younger people with you, you can choose if they have that with you or if you're going to hold that off for later. But please, if you're a person who wants to remember that the righteous live by faith, this is remembering that the righteousness that Jesus gives us by faith and that we can live because of that. So please come forward. And while you're up the front, there is bread. Or there is a gluten-free option, and there's juice and a juice-free option. So please come forward when you're ready. The song just reminded us, remembering His body and His blood, and we are taking these things, being thankful and giving thanks to Jesus. Let's take them together. Make a prayer of supplication for us as we request of God for His Spirit to continue to work in our life. Let's pray. God, we do want to thank You and give great thanks for these things that we've just remembered. Thank You for the body of Jesus and His blood. And Lord, we make this request that Your Spirit remind us of Your goodness towards us in the Lord Jesus this week and now as we've just taken in these elements. And we pray, Lord, that this week we'll remember the love that You have for us, the love that You have shown to us. By Spirit, and ask for Your Spirit's work in our life this week in the name of Jesus. Amen.